This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The Liturgical Scripture Readings for the Fifth Sunday of Easter. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Then Barnabas took charge of him and brought him to the apostles, and he reported to them how he had seen the Lord and how he had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He moved about freely with them in Jerusalem and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. He also spoke and debated with the Hellenists, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him to Caesarea, and they sent him on his way to Tarsus. The church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord. And with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Responsorial Psalm. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people.
I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people.
I will fulfill my vows before those who fear the Lord. The lowly shall eat their fill. They who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your hearts live forever.
I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall bow down before him.
I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people.
To him alone shall bow down all who sleep in the earth. Before him shall bend all who go down into the dust.
I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people.
And to him my soul shall live, my descendants shall serve him. Let the coming generation be told of the Lord, that they may proclaim to a people yet to be born the justice he has shown.
I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. A reading from the first letter of St. John. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Now this is how we shall know that we belong to the truth, and reassure our hearts before him in whatever our hearts condemn. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And his commandment is this, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him, and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We are still in the Easter season, Carla.
Fifth Sunday of Easter.
It is. It is. And we are at the end of April, but we are not done with the season yet.
No, we have two more weeks.
Do you still have 2 weeks of chocolate left?
I don't know. I was just going to tell you, I'm getting worried. I'm going to have to make another chocolate run.
There you go. Thank goodness for C's chocolate and all those other ones, huh? Well, we've got, again, a power-packed set of readings today. We're going to start with the Acts of the Apostles.
Yeah, and this is talking about Saul when he, after his conversion experience on the road to Damascus. And, you know, we can only imagine what St. Paul must have been going through after he met the risen Lord on the road to Damascus. And in this reading, we hear that after his conversion experience, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him. And, you know, that does seem to be a kind of natural response to someone who has a reputation of hunting down Christians to be executed. Yeah, I think I'd be a little afraid myself. And coming from that perspective, I think that this is something that most people can relate to, you know, the being treated unfairly, unjustly at one time or another. You know, maybe it was a jealous coworker or a competitive sibling, or maybe even a member of our own congregation with a misguided agenda. The unjust actions might have come in the form of rejection, exclusion, slander, or some other form of malice. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Quite frankly, Kevin, for most of us, this is a lot easier said than done. And it goes against our basic human response, which is to seek recompense for the injustice. We're supposed to love those who harm us, even if they don't acknowledge the harm they've caused, or if they pretend that it never happened. And we can't get to that place of forgiveness on our own. That's something that can only happen by the grace of God. And while we're looking so closely at the actions of others, we should also examine our own actions and see if there have been times in our lives that maybe we were the Saul, the persecutor in someone else's life. And if so, take responsibility for it and make amends.
Yes, amen to that. And remember when we talk about this conversion, because really that's what Christ wants us to do, is to convert to him, revert to him maybe in some cases. Paul, or Saul, did an amazing 180 spin, so to speak. He was vigorously persecuting Christians, as you mentioned. Now he's vigorously proclaiming Christ. He had an amazing conversion. But all conversions, great or small, require a decision on your part, a decision to be open to being changed. And when we make that decision to be open, to be changed by Jesus Christ, that's where this last line, this first reading, is so important. With the Holy Spirit, the church grew in numbers. The thing we need to remember is that Satan will vigorously attack where the church is growing. You might have heard a term about the blood of martyrs. I think when we think about martyrdom in our world today, we often, or at least when we think about the term, we often think about the Roman Colosseum back in 100 AD, and we see the Christians being martyred. And my hope is that when people in that Colosseum saw the martyrs calling on the name of Jesus before their death and before their martyrdom, they somehow too were changed, because somehow that church grew, that persecuted church grew in those early times. Now, this is where I think Tertullian, he was one of the early church fathers of the second century. He was the one who coined the term, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. He writes this, "We are not a new philosophy, but a divine revelation. This is why you can't just exterminate us. The more you kill, the more we are. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. You praise those who endured pain and death, so long as they aren't Christians. Your cruelties merely prove our innocence of the crimes you charge against us." What a powerful saying. And that's where the church grew, because there is a truth worth living for, fighting for, and dying for. And I think that's part of our, you know, milk toast or mediocre response in the way we live our world in the United States today. We need to say, yes, there is something worth living for. There's something worth fighting for. There's something worth dying for. And only then will our church increase in numbers. Because our church is regenerated by the sacrifice of martyrs. Because they didn't die for nothing. They are witnesses that have led even more Christians and more Catholics to walk this earth. So please don't think this is something of the past. Perhaps the most well-known case of presidente martyrdom came from Egypt back in 2015. If you might remember, 21 men were martyred for their faith in ISIS, for their faith in Christ by ISIS.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Today, there are still martyrs happening in India, in Muslim countries, in many other parts of the world. And yet, this day, even though the media doesn't report on it, these are the places where the Catholic faith is growing the most. So where martyrdom exists, that is where we see the church growing.
Good
we
point.
Need to reclaim that there's something worth living for and something worth fighting for and dying for in this country today.
Yeah, we do.
Well, let's go into the second reading, and it talks about living in deed and truth.
Yeah, and St. John is addressing the reality that Christian love is more than just words, that it must be lived. He encourages his readers to be confident in knowing that God's grace will assist those who persevere in faith and obedience to God's commandments. And he reminds us that God's mercy is greater than our failures. And that's such an important thing to remember. There is no sin that is greater than God's mercy.
Mm-hmm. So what do we need to do? I love these last lines in this. We should believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. We should love one another and keep his commandments. These are free decisions we need to make and live by, and how important that will change our lives.
I agree.
Well, in the gospel today, we see a beautiful fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 5.
Yes, we do. And Jesus tells us that he is the vine and we are the branches, and that when a branch is cut off from the vine, it will wither and die. Well, today, like you mentioned earlier, with the seeds of the martyrs, that we're seeing such a great number of converts, and more specifically, reverts, which is folks who were raised Catholic, but they stopped practicing, and now they are returning to the faith. And many of them share a common theme that started them on their journey to return to the Catholic Church, and they describe it as kind of an ache or an awareness deep inside of them that something was wrong, something was missing from their lives. And I'm going to tell a quick story. So this was years and years ago. I remember I got a phone call in the middle of the night from a friend, and it was pretty obvious that she wasn't sober. Now, I was still half asleep, and most of what she said just sounded like chaotic ramblings. Some of it was directed at the religious teachings of the church, and some of it was just about her personal problems, but I listened. And after she got most of it out of her system and she quieted down a little, I asked her a simple question. Do you feel like there's something missing from your life? She sobbed out, just, yes, you know. And then I said, well, that feeling that something's missing is real. You're feeling lost and confused because you need God. You are missing God. And in the state of mind she was in, I really wasn't sure how she was going to respond. So I was actually shocked when I heard her respond. She says, yes, you're right. And even in her disheveled state of mind, she knew the truth when she heard it. Jesus's words aren't just something nice, you know, something that we'd put on a greeting card. When he spoke the truth, when he said, without me, you can do nothing.
And I think that when you talk about that, she is open to being pruned. I think our spiritual life is also like being pruned. Pruning strips away the unnecessary, and we're laid bare with nothing to hide. But then the transformation happens. Let us be open to being transformed.
Alleluia.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio. For more information about this show, go to materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.